This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Monday morning, New York City on the Fan. It is Boomer and Gio without the Gio today as he enjoys a couple of days off. So I sit in with the Booms after a lovely weekend here in New York. Boomer, how are you,
sir? I'm doing great, Jerry. It's like old school. It's like we're going back in time, man.
Back in
the power
time.
Chair. How we're ready to rip it up today as the Yankees take 3 out of 4 from the Royals. But yeah. By the way, yeah. It was an That's right, exactly. It was an okay
weekend.
They did
what they were supposed to do.
Well, they should have taken 4 out of 4, but when you get, you know, backed up with a doubleheader and all that other stuff and you're rained out on Friday night, you know, it's tough to sweep a doubleheader in the major
leagues. Or separate the pitch center.
Yes, and that is probably concern number one for the Yankees. I mean, another poor performance, and I'm telling you, man, he's getting lit up. Now, hopefully he'll straighten it out. They're saying it's just, you know, minor tweak here, minor tweak there, and he'll get it right. But at the end of the day, Jay Happ looked good. Britain, you know, for the most part, is going to be a big part of this as they move Jason Shreve now to the Cardinals. And I do not want the Mets to trade Zach Wheeler. I just don't want it to happen. I'm like, as a Met fan, I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, no, hold on. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally this kid seems to have figured it out. And I know he probably is at his highest trade value that he'll ever be at the moment, much like we were talking about Jacob deGrom the last 3 months. But I would say this. I mean, if you have any hope to be any good next year, don't you have to keep your main guys with you and move forward with this starting rotation the way it is right now?
Yeah, if you got to keep at least 3 of them for sure, and I would like to keep all 4. And if you were going to trade one of them, if it was Zach Wheeler, all right, fair enough. The problem is you're not getting anything back for Zach Wheeler from everything you read, so why bother?
That's exactly right. Why even pick up the phone unless somebody says, hey, here's 2 starting players and, you know, maybe a reliever or something like that, because, you know, this is an arms race. And as we saw, Jay Happ had a great game yesterday, but Nathan Eovaldi had a better game.
He did.
For the Red Sox. It's like the Red Sox are always doing one up on the Yankees, and they're 5.5 out, and now the Red Sox got to deal with the Phillies. And the Yankees, you know what? Again, you take 3 out of 4 from Kansas City. I was saying it was a must-win weekend, and I swear to God, they should have taken 4 out of 4. But now they have the Orioles, and the Orioles have been somewhat of a thorn in their side. And I think, you know, it's one of these things now. You know, Britton's no longer there. Bundy's no longer there. Machado's no longer there. These are now shells of themselves teams. Now, these teams were not playing well anyway. But, like, you take Moustakas out of the lineup, there should not be, any worry that your starting pitcher should be able to get through them three times around, which is exactly what happened yesterday.
Which is why I took this line in the post with a grain of salt. Happ proved the Yankees were right to have brushed those struggles aside, meaning his last 4 or 5 starts
in Toronto. Calm down.
Right. I mean, if you can't go out and give us 6 good innings against whatever lineup that was from the Royals yesterday – I mean, play.
Well, good
here's
for him. It's
a
good, you know what? It's a good start for him.
It's a good start.
Fine. That's great.
But as
but
you
what's,
said,
what's going to happen is going to happen next
right.
week.
It's a minor league lineup, essentially,
right.
is what he faced
let's
yesterday.
See what he does
a couple
Fenway.
Of batters.
Let's see what he does at Fenway
exactly
this coming weekend. That's
really
why
you can't get nuts
here.
Just yet, and you can't get nuts with Eovaldi in Boston. It was the Twins, so be it. But they do win. It seems like every single day they win. Jackie Bradley made that highlight reel catch yesterday, and the Yankees remain 5.5 out. But here's the thing, and it kills me when people keep saying that this division race is over. I am not saying the Yankees are going to come back and win it, but I will say it's not even August yet, and the Yankees right now are mired in a decent stretch. They're not playing great. They're not playing lousy. This team will have another big run in them, and as long as they stay where they are in this little range of 4 or 5 games, the Red Sox... I'm not saying the Red Sox are going to win.
I can tell you they could pick
up 2.
Division's
not over yet.
They could pick up 2 games over the next
yes.
week. They easily can. You know, I mean, you know, but at the end of the day, when
they
you lose Judge,
games in hand.
I know that. And when you lose Judge and everything else, it's, you know, you can understand why there's a little bit of trepidation.
But even there, you look at Judge being out, it's 3 weeks to where even Brian Cashman said or Aaron Boone said over the weekend, he's going to be swinging in a week. It's really, they caught a break with this. And you're watching Stanton over the weekend and Aaron Hicks. I mean, Stanton hits a baseball like, you know, a giant swatting at a pea. I mean, it's amazing how
well, that's
he's
exactly
been.
What he's supposed to be. And,
exactly.
And this is exactly what they're supposed to be doing. Each other's got to pick each other up. That's right. They have depth, Jerry.
A lot of depth.
Depth. That's right. So it's very important. Now, the other thing, too, and I'm a little bit dismayed at this next story. I don't know who to believe, but here's what I think is going on. And this is there in regards to Sam Darnold of the New York Jets. Now, I would tell you that for a guy that was in the same situation as Sam, although not as high of a draft pick, I would say get your ass to camp as quickly as you possibly can. Now, it's unfair to blame Sam Darnold about all of this because, you know, it's kind of interesting that part of the story out there is that, you know, Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen signed their contracts and so did Josh Rosen. They all signed the same contract. No, it's not the same contract because the Jets have some Fugazi language in their contract that these other teams do not have. So that right there itself is inaccurate, okay? So CAA, who is representing Sam Darnold, is basically looking at two aspects of this contract. One is the offset language. You know, at the end of the day, what do I always say about an NFL player? It's not about your first contract anyway. It's about your second contract. Mm-hmm. Your second contract will validate you. And when Russell Wilson got his second contract and when Carson Wentz gets his second contract and Deshaun Watson gets his second contract and Patrick Mahomes gets his second contract, you'll realize that they have arrived because those contracts will be enormous and they will get a ton of dough from those contracts. The $30 million that he's guaranteed, you know, at the end of the day, do the Jets really want to take away any of that money if he is fined or suspended by the NFL? No. That's why the Jets should take that stupid clause out of there. They know damn well that they do not want to – they want this kid to be the future. They want to pay this guy $500 million, for God's sake. Hopefully that he makes it for 15 years, and that's what it's going to end up costing them to pay for him as their starting quarterback. So that part of it is the Jets' fault. The other part of it, the offset language – that's the player's fault. You know, I mean, at the end
of
the day.
Explain this, because everybody keeps saying offset language. What does that mean exactly?
Okay, so basically, let's say they give him $30 million for 4 years of the contract. Let's say after 2 years of that contract, which is guaranteed, by the way, they decide he's not going to be here. Let's say he goes off on, you know, he stinks, he can't play, whatever. And there's two years, and I'm just keeping it real here, and $15 million left on the contract. And let's say he signs with the Cleveland Browns for, you know, $1 million, mm-hmm. right? So of that $15 million, the Jets would only owe him $14 million because the $1 million that the Browns would give him would offset against what is owed him. You
okay.
see what I'm saying? So it's language that, you know, because these contracts are relatively short, that really, you know, if you're Baker Mayfield said to his agents, look, I don't really care about the offset language. I want to go in there. But I don't believe that the Browns have the fine and suspension language in there where they could void the contract. Now, the question is Jimmy Sexton being a hard ass here? Is it the Jets having something in their contract language that no other team has? I believe it's a little bit of both, but I think the Jets do deserve some of the blame here, as well as Sam Darnold's agent. And Darnold will end up getting really frustrated because he'll end up hearing this over and over and over again that he has to be in camp, he has to be in camp, he has to be in camp, he has to be in camp. And it always comes down on the player. They always try to guilt the player into signing the contract. And I don't necessarily know that he's going to have the guts to go through a whole nother week without signing this contract. So I think he's going to end up pushing. He's going to end up signing the contract. But I think the Jets, to be fair, have got to take that stupid clause out of the contract where they could void his salary if fined or suspended, which I think is asinine because you don't suspect that your quarterback's going to be that guy that's going to get
you
in that kind of trouble.
Not. You better hope not.
You're investing $30 million into him. So I want him in camp. He needs to be in camp. But the Jets also need to be realistic. And then that brings me to the NFLPA.
Well, before you do that,
what is the NFLPA doing? Why are they allowing these things? Like, first of all, you've given a rookie wage scale. Second of all, you've made these first round picks have to accept a fifth year, you know, on request by the team, not by you, the player. This is what this is where Aaron Donald finds himself. This is where Odell Beckham Jr. finds himself right now. That these players most likely have outplayed what they've already been paid, and they should be paid because they're right in their prime. And you know, that's the other thing. You have a fifth year language in this contract that the NFL agreed to. You lowered the rookie salary numbers significantly because of this. And now, once again, this player is fighting language that should not be in that contract. I don't blame the agents. I feel bad for the player. The player should be there. And quite frankly, the offset language is the least of, I think, of what this fight is over.
Isn't it at the same time, though, the give and take you always talk about with the contracts and the negotiating? The owners will give you some, they'll take some, and the players will take what they want, and then they'll give up other certain rights. I mean,
it's all part of it. It's part of the business of it. And I know that, you know, the players, in a lot of ways, because these players are coming from a spot where they have no say in what the agreement is with the owners, because they're, you know, because prior to signing this contract, they're not a part of the NFLPA. They're not a part of the NFLPA until they sign the contract.
Right.
So, you know, here we go. Now it's just a showdown. But I think the Jets have got to do the realistic thing here. Be kind to your third overall pick. And then Sam Darnold and his agent can say, okay, screw the offset language. We don't really care. You're still going to get your $30 million. Basically, they don't want the player double dipping. The NFL owners don't want another team paying a guy when another team's already guaranteed him that money. You see
Understood.
What I'm saying?
But the problem is they've done him a big disservice, because the fan base, it's only a few days, but you've already put him, forget what he's missing on the field.
But it's not the fan, it's not, but in my estimation, it's not the player's fault
in
this
case.
I didn't
say it
is. And if it were, I tell you.
That's my point, is you know what the deal is. A lot of the fans don't. If I was a Jet fan, I'd sit there and say, get your ass in camp and let's go, because all that goodwill about having that top pick and, you know, whatever pick it was, and picking Sam Darnold, and they got their guy, and maybe now, for a franchise that hasn't had the franchise quarterback, no disrespect, since Joe Namath, you know, this was supposed to be him, and you better hope he still is.
Yeah,
but you put him behind the eight ball now.
I mean, so he's missed three practices. So what? At the end of the day, the offset language, I think, is not the argument here. And I do think that there is a clause in this Jet contract that no other team has. I have not seen any other player bitch and complain. And by the way, you know, CAA represents a lot of players.
Right.
And for some reason, they're arguing with the Jets, and, you know, it depends on who you believe. If you believe Rich Samini and his competent writing yesterday about how he wrote about this is what the problem is, or Manish Mehta, who basically says it's all smoke, you know, it's all, you know, smokescreen, and it's all because the agent is being a douchebag. I don't really believe that. I believe that there is a clause in the contract that the Jets have that, quite frankly, should be taken out.
It's asinine.
So, you know, meet halfway, get the kid in camp, and let's go. The kid's a great kid. He's a high character kid. He just needs to be there. He needs to feel what it's like to be an NFL professional football player and to be the guy that everybody's looking at. You know, quite frankly, this is why I love – I don't know if you saw this. So, you know, in Cleveland, the quarterbacks that are there, I think it's Drew Stanton and I forget whoever else it was. When they first started and Baker Mayfield showed up for OTAs and all that stuff, they had Baker Mayfield rules. I think this is great.
Like Jabba?
Right. I think Stanton did this with Matthew Stafford or something was around. I forget the whole story, but I know what they told. They told Baker Mayfield, look, whatever you do, when you show up, you better have an RV with you.
Oh, this is the quarterback's club, right?
Yes, right.
The clubhouse?
Right. So Baker Mayfield did the right thing. He's a rookie. He's making a lot of money. He brought an RV or rented an RV or got an RV from somewhere, and it showed up, and it's in the parking lot at their training camp. And that's a place for those guys to go and hang out to get away from the madness of the one-day practice. I can't even imagine.
So Mayfield, Stanton, Tyrod Taylor, and let's just have the quarterback clubhouse.
Well, then Stanton was explaining that, you know, the offense could come in there too. Like the offensive linemen, of course, can come in there. The wide receivers and the running backs can come in there as well. And then maybe, just maybe, we'll allow a defensive guy or two in there. Could you imagine hanging out in there with Jarvis Landry just going off on people?
No. It'd be fun,
be
though.
Awesome, yes.
It'd be fun, though.
But, I mean, these guys don't know what 2 days are. They practice for a day, and then
Matt
they go out
Patricia
there and they
knows
walk.
What physical football is. Now, this is something we could do, which
yes.
would be a blast.
I'd love it. Let's
Did you
do it.
See, so he's doing the drill where he takes an offensive player and a defensive player. The offensive player has the football. Lay down. Blow the whistle.
And get up and get
up and blow by the defender, and the defender's got to knock you down.
Who wants it?
That's exactly right.
It's called a who wants it
drill. Now, that would be a fun drill to do.
Yes, it would be. I'd love to see you guys do that. I'd love to see you and Al do that. Like,
we did the knocker ball.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'll put you in the elevator on the way down. Maybe we get Izzo here and film
it.
I want
to lay down and attack.
No, listen to me. you guys lay down head to head, right? So you're on your backs and your heads are touching.
In the elevator?
And you're in the elevator.
We're not 3 feet tall.
And Izzo's in there with you, right? Well, you lay on an angle. I don't know.
Lay on an angle.
And then you guys, all of a sudden, I'll blow the whistle. You guys get up and just knock the crap out of each other in an elevator. That would be awesome. Because you know, well, Al, if you did it out here, Al would try to run outside the boundary.
There are no boundaries. No, let's do it on a field. Next time we're out at Jet Camp, let's get on the field, lay down. We'll have Todd Bowles blow the whistle. Attack.
I think you, all right, I'm all for that, but I think you're probably going to have to sign a waiver or something like that. They're not going to want Al to sue them.
Well, if I'm in full pads, I'll be good.
You're good, though.
No lawsuits.
You got a mouthpiece. Make sure you both bring a mouthpiece, because I'm like, I don't want to give you a mouthpiece that somebody else has been using.
Well, that would be disgusting.
You wouldn't like that, Al.
I would not.
But most teams don't do that anymore, right? I mean, that's kind of like when you played.
Yes, when I played. That's right, in the dark ages. I would say that Matt Patricia is trying to change the way things are done in Detroit. It's been too easy there. You know, Matthew Stafford's made $165 million. Everything's kind of nice. He's he's like a great thrower, and they put up lots of numbers, but they don't win.
Nothing to show for it.
And basically what Matt Patricia's doing and why he was hired there, you know, of course the GM there came from the Patriots as well. Is trying to lay down the law there. He's trying to recreate a culture there, kind of like what Bill Parcells did when he took over for Rich Kotite in New York.
Yeah.
You just come in and you know what? Guess what? This is no longer a spa. This is an NFL football team where we pay you lots of money and we have a lot of expectations for you players. And guess what? If you're not going to follow the way I'm going to do things, then your ass is going to be out of here.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Matt Patricia's doing in Detroit. And I think we'll see if it works. You know, with this new breed of athlete where you have to love everybody and you have to be so nice to them and you have to be able to communicate, I think he's communicating by what he's asking them to do.
You know, you can do both. I mean, you really can do both. You don't have to. You can be a tough head coach and still care for the play. I can't believe I just said that. And still actually give a damn about your play. Well, listen, this is 2018. This is the way it is, like it or not. And you know it. And maybe you're not for this time. But that's the way it is. That's the way it's going. I mean, you look at the guy in St. Louis with the Cardinals, this guy Schilt. One of the things he said when he took over for Matheny was, you know, got to create a nice culture in the locker room. I mean, all right, fine.
Matheny had been there a while, and I guess, you know, there had been some personal things that had cropped up. There are personal things that had cropped up. The key, I think, for every coach is to treat every player the same. And I know that's almost impossible
to
say.
Well, I don't believe that.
Because, you know, even Bill Parcells will tell you that, you know, we got Lawrence Taylor. He's spectacular on Sunday. And he's complete and utter, you know, you can't count him on the other 6 days of the week. So we'll let him deal with it as long as he's going to perform on Sunday, because it's a unique situation. But I think at the end of the day, the reason that you kind of have to set a new tone is because you have to let the players know it's unacceptable. You know, the Ford family doesn't really get involved on a day-to-day basis like Jerry Jones gets involved. You know, they don't get involved like Daniel Snyder. I'm not saying the way he does it is right either, because it certainly isn't. Or Bob Kraft, the way he is always around that team. You know, they are kind of like, you know, owners away from the team. So whoever
is running, football people run the team.
Right. So whoever is running that team, you know, has to run it the way that they feel is the right way to do it. And I think Matt Patricia is an old school guy with new school ways, but will also refer back to the way that it used to be done.
No doubt.
I mean, the problem is they don't have two-a-days anymore.
Well, it's not a problem. It's
not
just different.
It's not the way it used to be. It used to be really tough. It used to be really hard. It's no longer that way. And now, every day we wake up, you go to profootballtalk.com, NFL.com, profootballfocus.com. What are you worried about? You're worried about who's injured and who's out for the season.
Chargers lost another guy
the
other day.
It's unbelievable.
And we're going to get to, we got a lot to do. A lot of Yankees, obviously. But we'll get to the new helmet rule, because the Eagles, a lot of good stuff came out of their meeting with the officials. And when I say good stuff, I mean stuff to talk about, because everybody's confused, including the officials. So 619 live from the Investors Bank studio. Boomer and Gio, Greg with the day off.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.